The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable with Demetria L. Lucas. I apologize in advance for my voice right now. I have my retainer in. Fell asleep without putting my retainer in last night, and I didn't wear it for like most of the day. I just forgot about it. And then I finally put it on sometime this afternoon, and this thing is tight. I was like, oh my God, are my teeth shifting that quickly? Apparently, because I just got my braces off, like my teeth are not set in their new position. So it's imperative that I wear this retainer like 22 hours a day, which I have a lisp. Can you hear it? I don't like it at all. But here we are nonetheless. I've had a very productive week. My friend John Murray, our friend, you met John. He's come on the show three times. I love John Murray. But he's in LA for the week. So I met up with him, I guess on Wednesday. And we went and had lunch at the Ivy in West Hollywood. It's one of those like CNBC kind of places. It's really known for like a lot of celebrity sightings. But turns out that the food is actually good. I usually eat. There's a little restaurant across the way. It used to be called the News Cafe. I can't remember the name of it now, but sometimes I eat over there because the Ivy's always like really, really busy. And that place has good food too. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. I haven't been there in a while. They were closed, like completely closed, like no takeout, nothing for the whole pandemic. I haven't been back to a lot of my favorite spots. But I went to the Ivy and it was really good. We had the lobster cob salads with rosé sangria, which was delightful, a little midday treat. And then we went and did some shopping afterward. I was trying to find a dress to wear to this Ebony 100 gala on Saturday. I hadn't planned to go. I didn't get an invite until Wednesday morning. And I emailed the editor-in-chief, because I used to work with her at Essence like a million years ago. And I was like, hey, I didn't get an invite. Like, is there one forthcoming? Or because I did want to go to the gala, but I had no intentions of going without an invite. I don't have a problem crashing a party. I don't tend to do that in LA, though. LA is a different kind of door than New York. And in New York, like, I still know everyone. In LA, not so much. But I'm not above trying to crash a party. But a sit-down dinner, I was like, nah, that's doing the most. We have a term for people who crash sit-down dinners in DC. There are people who do that almost as a profession. Like, that's how they eat dinner. Because there's a gala or a ball or a reception or a something every single night in DC. I had no plans to go, and I was like, but I did want to go. So I was like, let me reach out and ask. And before I could even get a response about that, one of my friends who I missed last time she was in LA, she was here a couple weeks ago when I was in New York. So I reached out and I was like, oh, I can't believe you were in my city and I missed you. And she was like, oh, I'll be back for like the Ebony thing. I was like, will you be there? And I was like, I mean, I hope. She followed up because she was preparing to fly in town for the event on Saturday. And so she was like, hey, am I going to see you at the ball? And I was like, unfortunately, I don't think so. And so she was like, oh, my God, absolutely not. She's like, you can come and sit at my table. I have Melinda Williams. I have Niecy Nash. Like, the CMO of the company will be there. Like, this will be very, very good for you. You have to come. And I was like, girl, I have no gown. I have no shoes. I have no nails. I have no hair. I have no makeup appointment. Like, I can't pull this off. And so she was like, you're going and I'm sending a card. I was like, oh, okay, thank you. So shout out to the good folks at Cadillac who did make sure that I had at least a ticket and a ride. Cadillac is my fairy godparent for this event. So thank you very much to Cadillac. But I sent the email to the EIC and she responded like in the middle of the night. And she was like, oh, no. She was like, you're definitely invited with a plus one. She was like, I don't know what happened, but you were 110% invited to the event. And then the event director followed up as well. And so she was like, of course you're invited. And she was like, and just FYI, see below, I'm forwarding the email that we sent with the invite attached. Like, you were 110% definitely invited. Like, there's a mix up in communication. Like, but you were invited. Just crossing T's, dotting I's, just see below. See below, I did see that they had sent an invite. It just didn't land in my inbox. I don't know what happened. Yeah, so I tried to run around Wednesday with John since we were already like right there by Beverly Hills. So we went to Neiman's and we went to Saks and then we parted ways and I went to Century City to see Bloomies and nothing, absolutely nothing. So I'm not really sure what I'm wearing to this event. I'm just going to pull something out of the closet. I'm a DMV girl, so, you know, I keep a cocktail dress in clutch. I don't have a gown, though. In general, I don't wear gowns because I'm short. I just never find the right proportions, even with tailoring and all that. I look much better in a dress that hits at the knee. So I'll figure it out. Like, nothing I saw when I was shopping, to me at least, was cuter than what I had in the closet. And I was like, well, I ain't going to just wear something new just to say it's new, but it ain't cute enough. So we'll shop the closet. Luckily, my makeup artist was able to squeeze me in early in the morning, so I'll be in full beat, but that's okay. I have a couple events on Saturday anyway. I got a nail appointment in the morning. We're going to try something new. I stopped wearing white nails, which I did for like 10 years, and I moved to pale pink, but I'm going to try to do something different tomorrow just for, you know, the special occasion of being on this Ebony 100 list as a breakthrough creator. And I share this category with like really good people. Like my fave, we talked about my fave many times, Amisha Green, the creator and writer for Lovecraft Country. She's also in this breakthrough creator category. Brandis from, what's Brandis's last name? I just call her Brandis, my bad. From Harlem Fashion Row. Oh, my favorite stylist is here. Law Roach, Luxury Law on Instagram. He's one of my favorite stylists. He does a lot of Zendaya. He be dressing the hell out of that girl. But he also dabbles. He does Carrie. I believe he does Tiffany Haddish as well. She's been looking really, really good. I think we talked about how good she's been looking lately. He dressed her for her Venice looks. Oh, if you didn't see Tiffany Haddish when she was in Venice, go on her Instagram page. She looked absolutely beautiful. Very exciting. I'm very honored and I'm happy to attend this event on Saturday. I just don't know what I'm gonna look like. There's also an event on Friday, tomorrow night. I don't know what I'm wearing to that either. We'll see. I couldn't even find shoes in LA. I seriously debated, and I know it's going to sound like crazy. I seriously debated getting on a plane and flying to New York. More than one reason, but flying to New York to go shopping for the day so I could actually like get stuff. I don't know. Maybe I just don't know the right places to like go buy shoes and buy dresses here. But I know New York, I could just run up in a Saks and find what I need. Not the case here. I was very disappointed with the in-store selection. Whew. I really want these gold Sophia Webster stilettos with the butterfly in the back. So there's one that has like a dainty butterfly, and there's one that has like more of like a fabric-y butterfly, but it's very, very detailed. And I want those. And they had one pair at the Bloomingdale's in Century City in like a size 6. And I was like, bruh. And the rest of them are sold out until January 2022. And I was like, So I'll be shopping the closet. I don't have all my clothes with me on the West Coast, but I have like enough. So hopefully I can pull something off. And with my COVID weight, I'm not at my smallest right now. I'm actually heavier than I usually am. So we'll see what I can squeeze into. I got enough corsets and Spanx, and we should be able to pull something off, pull something together, a look of some sort. So we shall see. What else is going on? I think I've done nothing but like watch TV, which is basically what this episode is about to be about. There's no like juicy news this week. I don't feel like talking about shit that I really don't care about, when what I really want to talk about is like my favorite shows. Oh, two updates from last week. You remember we talked about Kyrie Irving and how he was missing out on $18 million by refusing to get the COVID vaccine. I talked about how stupid he was. Two listeners wrote in and they were like, girl, you just scratched the surface on how dumb this Negro is. And I said, really? He's dumber even than what I thought? And they were like, yeah, girl, dumber. It was brought to my attention, and thank you very much for writing in. I told y'all, don't write in with no petty shit. But if you have intel to share, I'm happy to hear. But they both shared with me, and they were like, yeah, so Kyrie Irving was up for a contract extension with the Brooklyn Nets. Like, up until now, they were happy with him. And I said, oh, really? And they were like, yeah, so the contract extension is off the table because the owners are pissed with him about this vaccine situation. I said, well, how much more is he set to lose by refusing to get vaccinated? There was an offer on the table. This is the contract extension for $186 million USD dollars and dineros. 100 plus 80 plus 6 USD dollars and dineros plus the 18 million. So we're over 200 million right now. That's how much money this dumb Negro is leaving on the table on the GP of not wanting to get vaccinated. I want to do my own research. You can't tell me what to do. You can't force me. For $186 million, you could tell me what the fuck to do. Last week, I said $18 million. I shoot heroin 2 times. $186 million, I smoke crack. I would smoke crack. I would enjoy crack. You need me to do it twice, like 1 month apart, and then go get a booster of crack? Want me to lace the crack with something? $186 million? Yeah, I get high and then I'll go to rehab. I'll be all right. Any ailments that come about as a result of my smoking crack, I have money to pay someone to fix me. Sir. Somebody in the comments the other day, we were talking about Kyrie Irving. They said, ain't no way in hell he got a wife. Because wouldn't no wife allow her husband to leave $18 million on the table, but definitely not $186 million? Nigga. He did just have a baby with a young lady, but a wife and a mother child are not always one and the same. She don't have the same pull as a wife does, unfortunately. Somebody need to tell him. His grandmama must not be alive. I was like, does this man not have a mama, a grandmama? Because I know they both black, but I was like, are they deceased? And I'm not being funny. I'm genuinely not. I can't see no black man with a living black mother and a living black grandmother who would allow him to do this dumb shit. Somebody would call you and be like, nigga, stop. Go get your money. 18 mil was bad enough. 186? You see how I went from calling him a Negro to a nigga. I can't believe he doing this shit. He gonna look back at himself when he old and be like, what was I thinking? And he better not go broke either. I swear for God, he better not spend the money that he does have. I know he has some millions now. I don't ever want to see this man on 30 for 30. ESPN talking about his financial woes. Not after you left $186 million plus $18 million on the table on GP on I need to do my own research. You can't force me, tell me what to do. For $186 million, you better jump when they say jump. It's the job, damn it. I don't understand. I got principles too. I don't want people to think I'm just a whore for money. I do have principles. But, you know, for $186 million, I can compromise them. This is just stupid. Just to be disagreeable. I think we talked about this. I keep mentioning it the other day. It comes up in my personal conversation, so I thought I might have said it on here. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I was like, some people's love language is just chaos and confusion. That's how they feel good about themselves. That is how they feel that they are at their highest functioning selves, in the middle of chaos and confusion. That's just how they operate in the world. And that seems to be like how he operates. Between this and the flat earth, at least the flat earth shit wasn't costing him $200 million. I can't believe he's doing this shit. What was the other thing I wanted to... Oh, Eddie Winslow. Last week we talked about Eddie Winslow, and we talked about the young lady that he was in a photo shoot with, that he was all booed up with. She's a transgender woman. Let me look up her name. Sydney Starr. That's her name. But the video of them with the photo shoot, we talked about that. She posted it. It went viral. Some very ignorant people had a lot of things to say about Darius McCrary. That's his real name. Eddie Winslow was the character he played on TV. But people had a lot of things, negative things, to say about Mr. McCrary expressing affection or being interested in or dating a transgender woman. So he went and did this video with his mama and said that that he wasn't dating the woman and they were just friends. Totally denied. Meanwhile, the young lady was running around telling people that they had been dating since February. So once he denied it, she went and dropped the receipts. So she had just showed the part of the photo shoot first when they were actually taking pictures. And they were all like cuddled up like a couple. And then she released pictures of her backing it up on him and him enthusiastically thrusting upon her voluptuous bottom, which I was like, yo, y'all need to get a room. I've done many a photo shoot. This isn't how we operate. But okay, you know, different strokes for different folks. But then she released some video, which I was like, who took this video? But she released some video of like he was all up on her, tonguing her down. Like he was the aggressor. He wanted everything that she had to offer. Like he was all up on into her. I told y'all from just what I saw from the photo shoot last week. And his version of the story is like, oh, I just did this photo shoot with my friend and I'm all up on her. And I'm like, yeah, that don't really make sense. And then like the back it up video, I was like, yeah, y'all are clearly more than friends. But he wanted to double down on it. So, you know, she released the video that she released. And I do hope she's done with him though. I mean, I thought they were a cute enough couple, but everybody deserves to be with someone who at the very least will claim them or not deny them. If you want to keep your business private, you don't want to talk about your shit, like I get it. But you know, the video very well could have come out and he very well could have just absolutely said nothing and the story would have faded away. But at the point that, you know, he went and got his mama involved to deny you, oh girl, have you seen your ass? Have you seen your titties? You could do better than that. You could find a nice man who will claim you properly and be proud. And be like, oh, you're dating a trans woman. Yep, I am. She's a cute girl. She'll be all right. Yeah? When we speak of his name, we refer to him by his character. And then we reference a show from the 90s? Okay. Moving along.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
For your king.
Never. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
I've been watching like really, really good TV right now. There's like remarkable television going on at this moment. I actually actively try to limit my TV time, and I've been unable because there's so much good television happening at the moment. And I feel like we haven't had like a real episode. We just talked like purely TV and pop culture in a while. So that's what we're going to do today. I don't know where to start. My favorite show, which I genuinely think is the best show on television, is Succession on HBO. It just came back after a 2-year hiatus. I know you don't want to add another show to your lineup because I don't want to add one either, but it's worth it. It's dysfunctional, super wealthy, like billionaire status, white people vying for the takeover of the family company. So it's very King Lear. There's 4 kids, 3 of them want to take over the company, and they fight each other and the father in order to do that. It's madness. It's one of the best written shows on TV. Like the one-liners on that show are epic. So it just came back last Sunday. I had to hook up my VPN. You know, sometimes I do the ads for ExpressVPN. I use it not for any of the reasons I mentioned in the ad, but I'm on the West Coast and everything airs on the East Coast before we get it here. So I set up my ExpressVPN on all my devices so that I can watch TV on East Coast time. It's that serious, especially for Succession. And I have no idea what's about to happen. This is kind of a spoiler, but if you start watching the show, it'll give nothing away because literally this has happened every season of the show, at least twice per season, is one of the sons tries to take over the father's company. And this is his best attempt yet. However, the son, Kendall Roy, who I adore, even though he's got a million freaking problems, I think he means well somewhere deep inside. He's self-destructive. Like, he can't help but fuck shit up. Now he's made his strongest attempt yet to knock his father out of the CEO position and take over the company. He should, because his father's a dick. However, he's gonna fuck it up. It's just a matter of figuring out, like, how. But Succession, like, it's so good. It's so rich. It's so, like, obnoxiously wealthy. And it's based, I read, on Rupert Murdoch at Fox. There's another couple people that's based on, too. But Murdoch is always the one that comes up. So if you are not watching Succession, I highly recommend that you begin watching Succession. It's so good. It's so good. I watched Ready to Love on OWN. I've never watched a season before. Ready to Love this season is based in DC. If you're not familiar with the show, 10 men, 10 women. It's everybody usually over 30 or in their 40s. It's a very adult show. Usually dating competition shows are about a bunch of people who are in their 20s. Which, you know, there's a time and a place for, and yes, good, but that's just not of much interest to me. But these folks are like good and grown. A lot of them are divorced. Some of them have children. They've had some like life experience. And so they're trying to like find love. So I never paid attention to it before. So I watched the first 2 episodes of that. I was expecting the guys to be cuter. DC doesn't have a lot of tall men. DC guys kind of like top out at like 5'9", 5'10". But they do have very attractive men. And maybe I'm biased because I'm from home. But even still, like, if I'm biased because I'm from home and I'm looking at a bunch of guys from home, I would be like, I should like find them attractive, right? I didn't find most of the guys attractive. Like, out of the 10 guys, like, I don't know. One definite. But really kind of like 2 in a possible. I know a guy who's on the show. He hasn't quite appeared yet. There's a twist coming, which they alluded to like in the ads. So if you've seen the ads for the show and they talk about like a new guy and a new girl come in like a couple episodes in, they show the guy's abs. The guy with those abs is my friend. He's had inside commentary on the show, which for obvious reasons I cannot share. I'll see if he'll come on the show and talk to me. about his experience on the show. I gotta wait till at least his first episode airs, though. So, that's not until... Oh, I can't give that date away either. My bad. The girls were cute. There's one plus-size girl. I thought she was absolutely adorable. And I guess at, like, the end of every episode, they vote one person off. And so... For this first episode, it went down to like two women, and one was the plush size girl who I thought did fine. I thought she looked cute. I thought she was fine and like the way she was engaging with people. And then like a woman who had been married for 20 years and was recently divorced. I mean, she's new to the dating scene again. Like a lot has changed in the last 20 years. Maybe she was a little awkward, but like there was nothing that like raised a red flag for me. But those two names came up as like the ones who should leave, and they voted off the woman who had been married for 20 years. And but I was really trying to figure out like why did, what was with like the plush size girl? And I only say that because I don't remember their names, but I was like, I just identify her as the plush size woman. And I'm saying plush just for clarity instead of plus, but plush. I don't feel like she did anything wrong. I was like, why did the guys like vote for her to leave? Like, is it because she's plush size? And they didn't say. That was a weird part about the show for me. It was like, okay, like if you're going to vote somebody off, like that's fine. But like say why you're voting them off. You were aggressive or, you know, you were an asshole or, you know, you did this thing. With the guys, it was kind of obvious what they did. Like the two guys that were down in the final two, there was one guy who was like literally asking out every other woman, even without like having a connection with them or getting to know them. And he was very clear. And he was like, my approach is just real cut and paste. Like, I just need to like, you know, get to like a first date and see where it goes from there. And the women were very turned off by that for obvious reasons. And then like the other guy, he started doing like erotic poetry at one point. And I was like, bruh, like you just doing the most. And then also when he was introducing himself, like, you know, the overall, like meet the cast or whatever, he was like, yeah, like I haven't been in a relationship in like 8 years and I had some problems and, you know, but time has passed. And I was like, okay, time has passed, but have you done any self-work, sir? Tell me about your self-work. I really thought that the guy who was like cut and paste, because he was really obnoxious, was the one that was going to get sent home. But I think the producers decided to keep him. But the other guy, like he got sent home and I was like, well, he was probably going to go next week anyway. Like, all right, you just went a week early. I didn't really see him like going the distance. So womp womp. But overall, like it's a good show. I'm interested enough to watch three episodes. I said I was going to review it on my social media pages. I actually really just want to support the show because light and healthy obsession with Will Packer. And also because it's in DC. So I want it to succeed. So I want the show to succeed. I want more things to be set in DC. DC doesn't have the initiatives to shoot that say like in Atlanta does. That's why everything gets shot in Atlanta because it's so cheap. But I was like, DC has like good energy and good culture and slowly but surely, there's more content that's being shot there. But like, you know, I want to put my city on. What else have I been watching? I tried to watch Squid Game, which I really want to watch because like everyone and their mother keeps talking about it. And I feel like I'm missing out on cultural references. Like I keep seeing this giant woman. I think it's part of like the red light, green light game. I know bits and pieces about the show, even though I haven't seen it. But I keep seeing this giant woman and these memes of like these people in green dancing as she keeps turning back around. And like, I want to get it, but I don't have time to watch the show to get it. I don't know. It's not going to be this weekend. So maybe next week sometime I can get like a good binge day to get like Squid Game out the way. Because I really want to know. Like, it's a cultural phenomenon. They talked about it on Saturday Night Live. And I was like, huh? What? I don't understand. And I want to understand. Actually, I'm probably not going to be able to do it next week either. I'm like deep in writing mode right now. My lawyer had to come to Jesus with me and was like, write these damn proposals. She needs me to write the proposals and get them to the agent. So once the proposals are done and out to be shot, at least then I can start on the treatment because the books need matching either TV shows or films. So then I'll have time to like, you know, do bullshit like binge an entire series in a day or so. Damn it. So eventually, I watched Squid Games. Everything else, I'll do one by one. What else did I watch? The Bachelorette? Yeah. I think I do this every season, though. I only watch The Bachelorette when it's black people or half black people. Like, it started with Rachel, who had two black parents, like, a couple years ago. And I think when I was watching that, like, I think I complained the whole time, too. But I really liked Rachel, so it was more tolerable. Matt, from last season, I recapped that whole thing on social media. It was entertaining enough, but then, like, he picked the racist, and he was weird. But the girl that Matt didn't pick for his season is now having her own season. I called her Hot Air Balloon at the time because that's the big date. That's the first big date that she and Matt went on. But her name is actually Michelle, and she's 28, I think. And she's a teacher from Minnesota. She's cute. She has a good personality. I liked her very much when she was a contestant on Matt's season. I like her still as the Bachelorette, but I feel like they set old girl up. This is a largely unattractive cast of men. What does she have, like 30 guys? And I want to say, like, at best, three in a possible. Three in a possible isn't even good for a hand of spades, much less, like, you know, options on a dating show. A lot of biracial guys, and nothing against biracial guys, but I think sometimes there's an assumption that, like, oh, people are mixed, so they must be attractive. It's possible. It's also, you know, not guaranteed, as some of the members of this cast do prove. I'm trying to be nice. I don't want to call anybody ugly. They're not ugly. They're just not, you know. I remember once when I was working at Essence, I used to have this column, or this page rather, called What Men Think. So we would ask men like random questions and they would answer. And we put their pictures in the magazine along with, you know, like a quote from the man and their like age, name, occupation, location, something like that. We would get really good answers. But the ones who always ran in the magazine were the cute ones. And I remember arguing for this guy. This is like probably like my first month on the job. Like, I was really fighting for this guy because his answer was so good. And my boss said to me, and she was like, no one cares about the opinions of ugly men. Which sounds harsh, right? Magazines, television, it's a visual medium. Like, you like the words, that's important, but you also like the visuals. The visuals are what make you stop and read the words. Unattractive men don't make women stop and stare. Not for the right reasons. A dating competition show? Yeah, the guys need to be cute. But I'm not really into this season, but I feel like I do this every year with The Bachelor. I don't really think I like the show. I really think I hate watch The Bachelor just because I want to like support the black people. But this time, because I actually have shit to do right now, I've drawn a line in the sand. I was like, I'll do three episodes of Michelle, and I'll see if they take her on like really good dates or really like elaborate setups, because they're still shooting in quarantine. So they're not doing like the big wide scopey type of things that they used to do before. That's why I liked The Bachelor originally, for Rachel's season. That's it. That's why I liked it, because Rachel's season was pre-pandemic. They weren't in quarantine and they were just doing over the top, elaborate shit, all sorts of locations. Like, the budget was spent. On the last one, The Last Bachelor, like, you can see where they were like, you know, tipping around with the budget. Like, they'd show up in elaborate cars, but like the dates just weren't like as grand as they could have been. I like to see a good budget well spent. We'll see what this season of The Bachelorette has to offer. But three episodes, I think that's all I can take. What else am I watching? Queens! Queens! I did not expect to like Queens. And I think I talked about it last episode. And I was like, oh, I'm going to tune in and see what it is. And I'm really excited about Eve. And I'm really excited about Naturi. But I specifically mentioned, and I'm mentioning it again for a reason. I specifically mentioned, I was like, you know, I'm not like the biggest Brandy fan. We'll see how it goes, but yeah. I've watched Queens. I think I probably watched that first episode maybe four times. I just like randomly put it on in the background when I'm doing other things because I just like it. I like the cadence of it. I like the flow of it. I really, 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 really like it. Dare I say, of all the new shows this season that I've been watching, because BMF was like probably like high ranking on my list. We've talked about how obsessed I am with BMF. We did, right? But I think Queens just not BMF out is like my favorite new show. And I'm obsessed with BMF. I remember when I said I liked it, people were like, the acting is terrible, Demetria, it's terrible. And I was like, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, I love it. I love looking at black people in Detroit with their like furs and their like big ass glasses. Are those gazelles? And rat tails. And they say, what up though, every 5 seconds. Like, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. But Queens, maybe it's just giving me like nostalgia vibes. Like, circa 2000, I feel, is like some of the best music ever. And Lord knows I love Eve. And I like Brandy's music, even though Brandy's more 90s than 2000s, but still. But Brandy is killing this role. She is. And like, Brandy is like this like hardcore rapper who like wears Tim's and like doesn't just rap, but like spit. Like, people are like, I feel like Brandy's like, you know, doing too much. Like, she's not embodying what the role is supposed to be. And I was like, no, she's supposed to do too much. Like, look at the ad. Everyone else has on stilettos and is real cute. Brandy is in Tim's. Brandy is supposed to be a hardcore rapper. And it works so, so well because Brandy in real life is anything but. Brandy in real life is... Y'all watched that Versus, the same Versus I did. Y'all saw who Brandy was. Brandy is Brandy. She's killing it on Queens, though. Like, I was like, oh my God, I might have to fuck around and be a fan of Brandy again. I always liked her music. I always liked her acting. But she gonna make me like her again because of Queens, which I'm not mad at. Because she's doing an amazing job. I like Eve. I like Natalia. I actually like them all. I've actually seen a lot of people complaining about the Latina, and they were like, one of these does not belong. She is the weak link. She doesn't bother me. I feel like it's the first episode. It's a pilot. Pilots are very hard. I feel like it'll mesh. It'll gel. It'll come together. I like it. I like the whole premise of it. I love that it's about women in their 40s. And I love that it's showing them in their 20s. Like, you know, Eve was Professor Sex. And now she's like a married mother of five to Ron Rico. Who, I was like, sir, I need you to pick a role where you're not cheating on your wife named Brie. Because isn't his wife on, what's that show? What's that show on BET Plus? First Wives Club. He cheated on that wife. And her name is Brie too, isn't it? I was like, Ron Rico, I need you to pick a role where you are not a cheating husband. He's good at the roles. I'm not mad at the acting. But I was like, sir, I hope this doesn't cross over into real life because you play these roles very, very well. I'm just saying. I'd be concerned if I was dating Ron Rico. But it's so good. And the writing is so good. There was this one scene. I had to stop and like recap the scene on my Instagram because I just wanted to like preserve it. And I was like, are people watching what I'm watching? Are you hearing what I'm hearing? It was this couple, Brandy, and a guy she had once dated, and they run into each other at a bar. He's trying to get the band back together. He used to be the manager. And she asked him, she says, why did you do all this? And he responds, I'm getting older, married twice, divorced twice, no kids. Here's the good part. Rich, but broke. Nothing's all good or all bad anymore. Nothing's pure. It's just life. And I was like, Jesus Christ, if that don't sum up living at 40. Like, I remember being so self-righteous about so many things. Like, everything was so black and white when I was like in my 20s and some of my 30s too. And some things can be very black and white. Like, I say things like interested men act interested. And that actually is pretty black and white. But also, I just find like a lot of life just is a bit of it depends and gray and taking in perspectives and some things that seemed like, you know, I don't know, very right and very wrong just don't really seem such anymore. It's just like, yeah, it all depends. It all depends. Like, I wouldn't smoke crack for $1,000. I wouldn't smoke crack for $1 million. $186 million? It's a gray area. It's a gray area. It's a gray area. Gotta hear both sides. Gotta hear both sides. I love the writing on this show. I love the idea of the show. I'm kind of shocked that it's on ABC. This strikes me as something that would be more cable-y than network. And I'm not mad it's on network because I want everybody to get their check and I want them to have a good wide audience. I hope it gets good numbers because I do want to see more of this show. Like, I really enjoyed it. Again, I watched the pilot like a good 4 times and I was like, oh, this is really well done. It's smart. I love Lil Muffin, who clearly is like some Nicki Cardi hybrid. It's just good. And it just like, it takes me back to like the heyday of like women in hip hop. Watching this show is just sort of reminded me. It's like, I can't remember a big hip hop girl group. Definitely not like in the 90s. Like, the only one that really pops in my head is, like, JJ Fad. Supersonic. I'm sure there are others, but, like, nothing, like, on this level where it's, like, this girl supergroup. It's, like, they were definitely, like, collaborations of, like, different artists that came together to do, like, one big song, but no, like, definitive group. I'm honestly, like, racking my brain, and I can't think of anyone. But this looks like a really fun show, and the writing is really good, and the pilot, and pilots are notoriously hard to land, is really, 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 really good. So I'm excited about this show. I really wanted to get its numbers, because I think it's going to go good places. What are you watching on TV? Come in my DMs and tell me. Not that I have a whole bunch of free time, but please share with me. Let me know what you're watching. If there's something that's really, really good that you really, really think that I should be watching as well, let me know so I can check it out. All right, so that is the episode for this week. We'll be back next week. I'll have an update for you on the Ebony 100, the shenanigans that will take place this weekend. Like, I have at least, like, what, 4 events that all require me to be some form of extra cute. You know, this is a lot for me. I will totally not leave the house, like, all of next week. I have to take time to decompress after I do a lot of humaning. A lot of people don't get it, and I'm just like, you don't have to. But I enjoy copious amounts of time to myself. I prefer it that way. All right. Let me go get this edited and get it in. Not on time, but kind of, sort of, maybe something akin to not the end of Friday. And I got to get it done before I got, like, my nails and my hair and some other stuff I got to take care of in the morning. All right. Talk soon next week. And we'll see what shenanigans that the blacks get into over the weekend. All right, y'all. Bye.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those, like, lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.